I feel really guilty because having just heard some of our young people talk about their weekend and having sat and actually spoken to them, that they don't actually smell that bad. I spent most of last night at a nice five-course meal with wine tasting and type thing. So I'm just feeling slightly guilty about the whole thing. But I think it's stirring in terms of what do we need for daily existence. And I think about how some people do actually live. Before I start talking about the passages that we've just heard in the Bible, can I make a suggestion? You'll notice if you're a guest here that we don't hand a plate round for the collection. That most people who are members of the church simply give on a week by week basis, so we don't make a big show about it. If you've come as a guest today and you've kind of thought, oh, I've got come to church, I have to give a bit of money, can I suggest that you don't put it into our offering? There's a bucket at the back which they're raising money from the slums for South Africa. Can I suggest that you don't give it to us as a church, you give it to the South African fundraising which the teenagers have been doing. We don't really need your money, but I tell you, there are people who have to live like that day after day in South Africa who do. Just a thought. Let me pray, and then I'll launch into these passages in the Bible. Heavenly Father, as we look at these passages, as we look at this reading about Solomon, as we look at the words of your Son Jesus, help us to understand what it is to give up everything for your kingdom. Amen. Well, I've got a question for you as we start off. Normally, if you come to church, you expect somebody to come to the front and sort of speak. But actually, I'm going to come into you. I want to know, think for a moment, in the last 30 days, what is the most exciting thing that you have got? So an actual object that you have got in the last 30 days, which you didn't have previously, which is the most exciting thing. The most exciting thing for me, just to get us started, is the complete third series of Doctor Who on DVD with commentaries, 5.1 surround sound stereo mix for the last three episodes, and every single episode of Doctor Who Confidential as well. Trust me, that is exciting. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to come in, have a think about it. Hands up if you want to share with us what for you is the most exciting thing you have got new in the last 30 days. Anybody? Let's Betty at the back.
We've got a new granddaughter.
Hey! That's pretty exciting. But that's not something you got. Well, it isn't a kind of roundabout way which we're not going to go into because we've got children present. Right. Anybody else? Don't all shout at once. Right at the back. Ooh, Michael, right at the back. You would all be at the back, wouldn't you? Right.
When someone donated donuts to our slum.
Were they Krispy Kreme stuff? Oh, shame.
I've got tickets for where in the FA Cup.
Where in the FA Cup? You can tell what a great parish for the priest type guy I am. I'm not a parish priest, David is, but, you know, sounded good. FA Cup first round, where versus Kidderminster Harry? Is this? Wow, next Saturday, 3:00. Look at the price of that. That is extortionate. I've been in that ground. Okay, somebody else. One more person. Most exciting thing. One over here. Fantastic. Lost you. There you are.
My son-in-law got a job after being unemployed for 6 months.
Fantastic. Lots of exciting things. I'm going to put this back down. Excellent. Right. I'm not sure actually how much this thing cost. We kind of have an agreement in my family that all new Doctor Who DVDs I can actually buy. So I don't kind of sit and think, well, you know, it's so much. We just sort of, you know, we just kind of do it. But I wonder, when you've been reading this passage, I wonder if you would turn to it. Somebody shout out a page number for us because I've got a slightly different Bible ordering. The passage in Matthew. Someone shout out a page number in a few Bibles. 980. Open up the kind of red Bibles that you've got here in the pews. And it's on page 980. Let me read it again, as you find it. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything that he had and bought it. Now, I'm not sure, however good season 3 of Doctor Who was, and it was the best of the 3 seasons so far, I'm not sure if there was a really, really hefty price tag on it, I would actually have paid it. Firstly, my wife wouldn't let me. There's only like so much things are worth. But secondly, I don't actually think that season 3 of Doctor Who, however good it is actually worth me, for example, selling my house. Not that I own a house, but it's kind of, a figure of speech. Were I to have a house, I don't think it's worth... I'd sell Danny's house, because he's grinning at me at the moment, but I don't think I'd sell my house for season 3 of Doctor Who. But look at this picture that Jesus is telling us about the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds buried treasure. It's kind of sort of Captain Jack stuff, Pirates of the Caribbean. You find buried treasure. What does he do? He puts it back in the ground. He thinks, I'm having that. And he goes away and he sells absolutely everything. So in today's terms, it's like you find something in a field and you think, I've got to have that. So you go home and you sell your house. And you sell your car. Who's got a nice car? I've got a fairly nice car. Peugeot 307, HDI, Quicksilver on the side. Very nice, Diesel injection, works for me. Imagine just going home and selling that to buy a field. Imagine going home and selling your entire Doctor Who DVD and video collection of every single Doctor Who episode that still exists. A horrifying thought. Worth millions, probably. Millions to me, probably, to you, got 10 pence. You want that for it? Imagine selling everything to buy a field because of what was in that field. Or the illustration of the merchant. Now, what they used to do, these merchants in the time of Jesus, obviously pearls don't grow everywhere. How a pearl grows is you get your oyster and it has a piece of kind of small piece of dirt inside it. It's a grit, piece of grit, and slowly it forms around that and forms a perfect pearl. But obviously that doesn't happen in the middle of, England, You don't go into the high street in Colchester and find a pearl. You find them in certain shallow areas and certain waters of the world. So the merchants would go to where the pearls were, and would buy them and would bring them back to the people who actually wanted to buy them. And the story here is very simple. He finds a pearl that is absolutely stunning. It is the mother of all pearls. Especially. So what does he do? What does the passage say he does? He went away and he sold everything and bought it. It was such a fantastic pearl that he went away and he literally sold and got rid of and got as much money as he could, sold everything. He had nothing left just so he could own this pearl. Now, what's the point of this? Is this just a nice story that Jesus is telling us? Now, is this just Jesus sitting down with his mates? Let's stroke the beard. Let's have a bit of... let's brew a bit of tea, a bit of cake. Let's tell nice stories about how nice God is and all that kind of stuff. No, this is way, way, way more serious stuff. Jesus says very simple, the kingdom of heaven, the stuff of God, what God is doing in your life and in my life and in the world is like the treasure hidden in the field. It's like the pearl in the oyster that is worth stacks. And our response to what we see God doing and his call upon us and saying to us, I want you as part of my kingdom. I want you involved in my work. Our response should not be, well, that's a nice pearl, but frankly, I can't be bothered. Shouldn't be, what will you give me for 10 quid? Jesus is very clear. And you know what? We know it's clear. We know it's very clear. We just don't want to see it because we realize what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus is saying to us, the things of God are the most important thing. And you are going to have to give, if you really want to do it, you are going to have to sell, as it were, your entire life for it. Now that's a heavy deal. Jesus is not saying, if you want the things of God, make sure that you turn up in church between about 10:45 to get here in time for all the baptism party to turn up suddenly, and sort of, you know, 12:30 on the same day, and then you can go home. He's not saying that. He's not saying to you, make sure that you give £10 a week to a good cause. What he's saying to us is something much, much more fundamentally deep. He's saying, sell yourself. Pour absolutely everything that you have into what God is doing. Give yourself over to God. That's a real challenge. That's a real challenge to me. I have to say, I've been utterly convicted as I've prepared this sermon over this past week. I've been utterly convicted to think I do not do that. I remember about 10 years ago, 1997, 9 years ago, in my church in London, a guy called Simon Gilbord came. I didn't know him then from Adam. And apparently his family had been living out in East Africa. Sort of his great-grandmother went over there as an English colonist in the 1910s and 20s. His family's been associated with Eastern Africa for generations. And he was coming back after having been there at the end of the Civil War, where literally almost, you know, 1 million people got killed for the war between the Hutus and the Tutsis. And he came and he stood and he preached on a passage in Romans 12 where Paul says, offer yourselves, he's talking to people of God, offer yourselves as living sacrifices to God. Give yourself over to God. Let him do with you what you want. He was saying, look, I'm going back to East Africa. I'm going back to a place where, 150 people die every day. Not in their beds, but they get hacked to pieces. I've got friends who have gone out to do a Bible study and never came back, and we found them in bits. And yet God has said to me, I want you to go there and to share me in that place. And you know, now he's got a wife, he's got 2 kids, they're still out there. They come back here occasionally, but they go out there, they are committed. They have sold themselves, literally, for God's work in that place. Now I don't think God says to every single one of us, I want you to drop everything and go and live in the most dangerous place in the world so that you can do what I'm calling you to do. But he says to us very, very clearly, sell everything. Not like get rid of your house and pour the money into stuff. It's much deeper. It says, if you are really serious about who I am, if you are really serious about belonging to me, it's going to cost you everything. Now, I'd say that's a really scary thought, because when Simon Gilbord, 9 years ago, in that church in London, said, this means you, and he pointed his finger, he wasn't deliberately pointing at me, but I'll tell you what, I was like, duh. And here I am 9 years later. Because somebody stood up and said, being a Christian is a serious business. Belonging to God is a serious business. And on that day, I decided I was going to do that. I was very, very scared. I was about to use a very rude word there. I was very, very scared because suddenly I thought, if I give myself over to God, he can do with me what he wants. I don't just keep him in my nice little Sunday morning and Christmas and Easter and paying £10 a week to the church time kind of box. I'm going to say to him, you can have my entire life. And that meant he could have sent me to East Africa. He didn't. Thank you very much. He could still do that, though. In fact, he sent me here by a very long route via London and Oxford and bishops and things like that. But Do you see what I'm saying to you? Jesus is not saying to you, believing in me and trusting in me and letting me be in charge of your life is a part-time deal. He's saying to you, this means everything. But that's scary. Now, imagine a diver going for his pearl. Right? Here's the surface. Down there is the pearl in the oyster. Now, do you know what happens to a diver if he just goes straight down to that pearl? What happens? Anybody? The bends! Absolutely. If you go, if you're on the surface and you go straight down, you get, as you get more water further and further down, it's higher pressure, higher pressure. You get the bend, especially as you come back up again. If you come up too quickly, it all goes wrong. And when we hear people saying to us, when we hear Jesus here saying to us, sell everything, give everything for me, we think, hang on a minute, that's a big deal. That's going to give me the bends. That's scary. But Jesus doesn't call us to give everything at once. He doesn't take it all away from us at once. The moment that we say to him, I want to do this, he begins taking us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. That's what baptism is about. Baptism is about saying, I want my child to begin that dive down to that pearl. Not that I'm going to jump in and suddenly find myself at the bottom, but that is the direction I want to go. And so many people in their Christian walk, they kind of swim around, they kind of tread water at the top, and they look down and they think, that's a long way down. That's a long way down. And if I go down, I'm going to have to hold my breath. If I go down, I might get a weird feeling in my head. So I'm just going to stay here where it's nice and easy. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, as it were, he says, dive in. I will be with you as you go deeper and deeper. And in baptism, we, as it were, mark out that journey of diving in. Some people dive in and go a long way. But I tell you what, everybody who wants to dive in will find that pearl. Everybody who wants to dive in will find the treasure in the field. And stop for a moment and think to yourself, what is it that stops me diving in? Is it because I don't believe that there's a pearl, as it were, a pearl? I don't believe that actually Jesus is with me. Is it because I don't believe that it's important enough? Is it because I don't have the time? Is it because I don't want Jesus to be in charge of my life? You see, as I was preparing this sermon, it's a very weird picture. As I got this in the mail on Friday, as I was preparing the sermon, Jesus said to me, what if I took away your entire Doctor Who DVD collection? I'm not just talking now here, the last 3 years. I'm talking everything going back to 1963. You know? It's a big bookcase, isn't it? That may seem a really silly thing, but actually, it illustrated for me, have I been holding on personally to things that I wanted, that I thought were more important than Jesus? For me, have I been holding on to nice holidays? Last 2 years, we've had lots of nice holidays. What if working for Jesus, what if really selling myself for Jesus meant I would end up in a job where I had no money? Would I do that? What if that was the cost? What if the cost was not living where I wanted to live? What if the cost of selling myself for Jesus was having to move somewhere new and make new friendships and work for him and build on those? having to be with people who I don't like. Not people who are like, you know, teenagers sat at the back slightly smelly because they haven't had any perspiration for 36 hours. I'm talking about what if God says, go here to work with all these people who really rile you, but I want you there. It's a personal thing. Would I do that? So baptism marks the start of the dive, the start of the journey to that pearl. And my question for us all today, whether this is your first time in this church, whether you've been coming here for 30 years, Sunday by Sunday is, have an honest look at yourself. Do you really believe this? Are you really sold out? It's changed my life. And every now and again I come back, like in preparing this week's sermon, and I find something new. I find something new that I've made more important than God. For example, having my DVDs. Because I tell you what, it really frightened me. The idea of not having my DVDs. It sounds weird. It sounds really weird, but that's like, that represents all my childhood, all the things I enjoyed. What if that one all went away? And you know what? I think right now, for most of us in this church, there will be something inside us where we are going, I don't want to give that up. What if Jesus said, give that up for me? What if I couldn't do that thing if I followed Jesus and he took me somewhere else? But that's the cost. But there is a pearl at the end of the dive. I'm going to pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this picture that your kingdom is a treasure, but that you call us to, as it were, sell ourselves for it, Lord. Lord, I thank you that that is a challenge that is real, Lord. I thank you that you are challenging us and that you will bring us all that challenge, which is personal and individual, Lord. Lord, help us to know you more and help us to actually say, yes, I want to sell myself for you. And Lord, we just pray for those who are preparing now for baptism, that what happens in the next few minutes would be for them the start of that dive into you. Amen.